Hello and welcome to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. Over the next 3 years, the technology driving 911 services across this nation are going through the biggest change we've seen since 911 became a thing, as Next Generation 911, or NG911, is on its way, and it's going to change a lot about how emergencies are processed and responded to in this country. Today on the podcast, we go deep on the subject of NG911 with Brian Silverstone, Vice President of Sales for Government of Canada and Ottawa Commercial Business at Avaya Canada. We'll talk about where the technology behind 911 is at today and where it's going between now and when NG911 becomes the standard in 2024. We'll discuss the features and benefits that will come with the next-gen system, the steps that are needed to get from today's 911 to NG911, why this is potentially a Y2K moment for the technology behind the stack, and, of course, the stack that Avaya brings to the party for the solution. And, of course, we also talk about the role that partners can play, the solutions they can bring, and the roles they can play in helping these entities get up to date. It's a great conversation, so let's get right into it. My chat with Brian Silverstone. Brian, thanks so much for taking the time. I appreciate you joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having us.
I want to talk a little bit around Next Generation 911 and kind of the opportunities there for your channel partners, but especially for someone coming into this, from my perspective, as someone who's only, you know, vaguely aware sort of the technology stack that exists behind 911. Clearly, I know it's there. What exactly it is, I know a lot less about. Can you maybe walk us through what's happening with the current generation of 911, E911, and then where it goes from here moving into next gen?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. So in Canada, there are 300 PSAPs, Public Safety Answering Points. Those are the call centers that actually answer the 911 and then distribute the call to police, fire, ambulance kind of thing. So We have them spread out through heritage in the 911. Avaya has a very good market base. Within the 300 PSAPs, about a third of them are on Avaya CS1K systems. About a third of them are on Centrex, and about a third of them are on small PBXs, which includes the Avaya IP office and the Avaya BCM. So you can see Avaya really has a deep history within the 911 space. And Now, as we're moving forward, the CRTC in 2017 said, we need to move this forward into new times. So 911 and E911 was based on circuit switching technology at the service provider-based networking level. So we're moving that to IP-based in what they call the Ethernet. That is the network that the service providers across the country are going to be putting together, and all the PSAPs are going to be connected to that to create a network of networks, if you will. Within 911, it's only analog. It's only voice. So now, in this day and age, 80, 90% of the calls coming into PSAPs are from cell phones. Right. So it's a different age. It's a different being. We have to accommodate for that. So what we're doing in moving from the old world to the NG911 world is we're allowing additional data to be able to be incorporated into the calls as well. So when we moved initially from 911 to E911, we added the ability to have location identification of the building. So we know what building is getting a call from, what home, what business, but that's kind of where it stops. So the promise of the next generation 911 is additional data could include things like rich caller information, additional location information, things like what floor of a high tower building you're on even, and where is the elevator for a gurney, you know, is it closer to the back door or closer to the front door? All kinds of things can be included, and that's going to make a huge benefit, not only for the person calling, because this is really life and death. When a call comes in, it is critical. So the more information the responders have, the better off not only will they be knowing what they're going into, but also the person who is in trouble, who is calling, will be better served as well.
All right. Now, certainly some of that data can be pre-populated guessed from the network, from the device. How does all of that data get entered into the system so that it's on the record, it's available to responders?
So within the actual call header information, there will be what's called ADR, where there will be additional information that will be able to be handled. So mm-hmm. you're going to get that information. One other thing that the NG911 will be able to do is handle other types of media. So not only voice. Today, very, mm-hmm. very few people have the ability to text in the 911 world. The future right. in the NG911 world will allow for what's called real-time text. The stream will still be through the voice, because voice is very important for the call takers to mm-hmm. hear what's going on and assess the situation. But if somebody's in trouble, can't talk, they'll be able to text.
Oh.
And that is going to be very big. For the next generation of people, it probably will be the norm, but it is very, very big. Pictures will also be able to be incorporated. Video, maybe down in the future, will be also be able to be incorporated. So there's lots of different ways that information will be imparted. There's the header, and then there's the text or the medium that will be provided as well.
And where are we at in this process? You know, you mentioned a few years ago is kind of when this process started. But obviously, this is a big transformation you're describing and a lot of moving pieces. Where are we at in it, and sort of where is it going in the near future?
Yeah, so there's a schedule set out by the CRTC that basically says, okay, trialing can start and you need to be ready for decommissioning of the 911 by March 30th of 2024. So you can start in 2021, but you need all PSAPs need to be on this new wave. This is almost a Y2K moment, right? Where everybody needs to be, something needs to be happen, and you need to plan for that to happen. So there's not a big bang and not a, you know, it goes smoothly. We need to make sure that all of our PSAPs that we're working with are, and a lot of them are in different stages. So some of them are in trials, some of them have deployed, some of them are getting ready, some of them are waiting, some of them are in the, you know, the procurement phase. So there's a variety of phases, and that's where we're working with our partners mm-hmm. and our customers and the PSAPs themselves to make sure they're ready, getting ready, comfortable, and planning for this. So multiple phases and multiple of the 300 are in various different phases.
I was going to say, that's a lot of moving parts on a lot of different fronts.
It is, and it's you know, we're working... We have, you know, partners like Bell Canada, TELUS, Combat Networks, and others that are really embracing this and helping the PSAPs move. Because this is a big deal for the PSAPs.
No right? doubt.
This is a huge change for them. Not only changing the technology, but changing their processes as well. So that's a big change. And they're coming to the grasp of this being not only a change in just the next generation 911, but this is really part of the digital transformation that they have to go through. Mm-hmm. So it's a small part of a bigger picture. And if you don't start planning the bigger picture now, at the same time as planning the small part, you're going to be disjointed and you're not going to be in the best of light to get to where you want to go. So we're helping the customers, our partners are helping the customers, the PSAPs, actually understand where on that evolution path they are and what we have to do. Now, we're incredibly fortunate to work with some of the very large PSAPs in the country, in the top five. Ontario Provincial Police, OPP, they're in trials. They've done successful call transfers, successful calls with us and our systems, and our partner, Comutel. So they've done that. They're on the way. We've got Ecom, which is in the trial phase as well. They're the largest PSAP in Western Canada. And we've got a very large PSAP in Ontario, which operates 20 centralized ambulance communication centers with us as well. So there's a lot that's moving. We have a lot of other PSAPs that are working with us in GTA and across Canada as well. And they're all at various stages of testing, deployment, implementation, planning.
What are some of the Avaya technologies that you and your partners are bringing to bear that are particularly germane to the space? Obviously, all things contact center are right in your wheelhouse, but curious, what are the pieces that the PSAPs are pulling on right now?
Yeah, so our solution is a kind of a best of breed solution. So we've partnered with a company called Comutel, where we're providing the telephony system and the contact center system, if you will, so that we can handle high resiliency call handling. We do all the routing, the session border control. We make that communications enabled. And then the Comutel system will provide the call interface, the desktop, if you will, and the radio telephony headset integration, so that together we have a solid, tight integration solution that can provide, as I said, a best of breed solution.
All right. There's a variety of different aspects, I think, that a partner could come at this. You know, you talk about network technology translation, you talk about call center transformation, you talk about business process kind of transformation. What are some of the skill sets that you find work well for partners to have here, and what are kind of the common plays you see for partners to bring to bear?
So that's where we're really fortunate, right? Our partner community is bigger than just Avaya. So they see a bit more than we do. They have different skill sets that augment our skill sets, and they can look at this from a holistic view that goes from the network all the way through. And that entails that whole digital transformation that I spoke about earlier. That piece is where really our partners thrive, knowing and helping the PSAPs to move, again, into the NG911 space, but further into that digital transformation space. The ability to provide the consulting services to the PSAPs to look beyond where they are today, where they'll be tomorrow, and, you know, into the future.
Does the expanding kind of nature of the data, which will be available, accessible, usable via Next Gen 911, kind of change the footprint or expand the footprint for the types of partners you'll be working with around these deployments and running this?
So far, it hasn't. I don't actually think that it will change. Our partner community is pretty solid, and the ones that really go into this market, the ones that really want to play in the PSAP market, understand it and understand it well, and understand the new types of data and how they have to play with that type of data and where their responsibilities lies. The new data will change more things for the PSAPs than actually the technology itself. We have to embed the ability to have, you know, for example, the texting stream within the voice stream. But it is the processes and the way that the operational impact has on the call taker and the PSAP, and actually even on the actual call, because now what will happen is in today's world, if a PSAP gets it and needs to transfer it to fire, for example, it's a transfer only to one. Within the next NG911, we'll be able to connect people together, have multi-party calls. You're not just, you know, it can be any PSAP across the country that gets connected. Depending on the incident, you may need more than one PSAP or responder involved. And so that gives you that ability. But today, those processes don't exist for a given PSAP. So they have to think a little bit differently. They have to set up differently. They have to train their people differently, and their people have to work a little bit differently. So that's where the impact is going to come. Not only to say that it's a tough enough job right now, being a call taker, you know, a dispatcher, a supervisor. If you're ever in a, you know, a PSAP in a call taking facility, I have huge admiration for those people. They do a job that I could never do, and the stress on them, I'm sure, is high. If we do end up moving into the videos and the pictures, there's going to be additional stress on them because they're going to see things that not many more people really want to see. But they'll have to deal with that, and processes will have to be in place to deal with that, those things. So there's lots of different things that the PSAPs are actually going to have to start considering as we move through this phase. Maybe not all at once, maybe not all up front, but as we make this journey together, there'll be a lot of different things that come up.
And it's a lot of different fronts on which I think your partners can say, have you thought of this? Are you thinking about this? Are you ready to go in this direction as this new data comes online? It sounds like a fascinating transformation. And, you know, you sort of gave the deadline date, but when do you see sort of this becoming a early majority implementation kind of thing? When can we sort of expect that our 911 calls will be benefiting from some of this new data?
Yeah, so early last year was the start. The early adopters happened in 2020. There's a little bit more happening in 2021. Later 21 and 2022 is when I see the vast majority of PSAPs moving. And then once they move, it'll probably be 2023 before we really do see all of this coming on board.
It's on, okay.
Yeah. So and it's the nice thing. So within Canada, there is a organizational body that gets all the PSAPs and vendors together. We're working harmoniously, really, collectively for sure. And the CRTC is heading that up with the Emergency Services Working Group. That consistency and that strategy and those timelines that we have in Canada are creating a very good situation that we will be well looked after and well taken care of. As a citizen, as a person, I want to know that if I ever need 911, it is going to be there for me. I hope to God nobody has to use it, but many do, and you want it to be there. And it's critical. As I said, it's life and death. It has to be there. Avaya certainly understands mission critical networks, mission critical call contact centers. And this is certainly one of them, and we play this place.
One of the, I dare say, one of the biggest, at least in terms of public import, natures of call centers that we'll see. And thanks for taking us for a fascinating trip through sort of this evolution that is happening and soon to come. I appreciate your taking the time.
Oh, it was absolutely my pleasure. It was great talking to you. Thank you.
There you have it, the full rundown on what's involved with Next Generation 911 and how solution providers can play a role with Avaya's Brian Silverstone. I'd like to thank Brian for taking the time to chat, thank Avaya for their continuing support of the site, and, of course, thank you for listening today. The ChannelBuzz.ca podcast will be back later this week as we're joined by Kaspersky's North American channel chief, Matt Crochane, to discuss the results of some interesting research the security vendor has done into how solution providers have changed their businesses as a result of the pandemic, and how they see engagement with their vendors evolving as well. There's some interesting data and insights in there, so be sure to check that out. But between now and then, we'd invite you to subscribe or follow the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and a number of other places where pods are cast. But for now, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca. Stay safe out there, and I'll see you around the channel.